Michigan Education Association, which is union, is represented by a separate union as far as the employees that operate it?
The employees, yes. There's actually a group called United Staff Organization of Michigan, and they represent about 600 MEA employees statewide, including the very UNISERV directors that the MEA trains to negotiate health care packages, among other issues, in Michigan's 552 school districts. So you can imagine the tension that's going on with these negotiations, because the MEA, which is playing management in this particular arrangement, is negotiating with the people they train over rolling back retiree benefits that they've had their UNISERV directors fighting to keep in individual school districts. We called that apparently hypocritical in a news release we put out last week, but I did actually applaud the MEA for their sense of fiscal responsibility. I just suggested that they allow districts to exercise fiscal responsibility too by rolling back their own health care costs.
Is the MEA being fiscally responsible near as much as their, I guess I'm seeing my suspicious nature and my antenna going up, thinking that they must see the writing on the wall, that this whole thing could get gutted and changed by the legislature if something doesn't change on their end?
Well, the entire U.S. economy is seeing the writing on the wall when it comes to retiree benefits. I mean, there are cities now that are effectively bankrupt. They just haven't been told yet by their auditors. And it's usually over the cost of providing retiree health care benefits. Everyone is seeing this, and that's why everyone is making changes. Naturally, the private sector has taken the lead because they have a fiscal responsibility to their shareholders, who are much more likely to hit them over the head if they make bad choices. But now we see even the MEA, which is demanding that districts keep the expensive MESA benefits, Michigan Education Special Services Association benefits, is trying to roll back the very care packages that they want their members to receive throughout Michigan districts.
Does this really matter when it comes to the end result? And I say that only with this in mind. I'm just throwing a scenario out. I want to get your thought.
Sure.
And that is, the federal government has proven recently that they're not going to let homeowners go down because they're going to bail out these loans that a lot of people say shouldn't have been made in the first place. Mm-hmm. People that probably should have still rented were buying homes and so forth, and ended up now they're in balloon payments, and you know the situation there.
Right.
We could go over that whole story and spend an hour on it. But just to make a point, the federal government's bailing them out. New Orleans, they're realistically, and this is hard to say, but I'm going to be the one to say it and get in trouble for it. New Orleans, at least the floodplain area, should not be rebuilt, and because it's going to happen again, and they're only building their levees back up to level 3 capabilities as far as holding back the floodwaters. So you can see a scenario. I mean, look at the state. We've heard reports last year that there were 40 school districts on the verge of bankruptcy. But would the state have really allowed that to happen? I mean, you know, the state would have found a way to come in and bail them out, and the feds probably would have came in with some extra money to help bail them out. Nobody's willing to let anything, and not that you want it to, but to let anything really crash before the true changes can come, it doesn't look like.
Which is one of the reasons we're discussing having another deficit in Michigan, and the politicians want to reach deeper into our pockets to subsidize what they should not be subsidizing. Economists have a technical term for this. It's called moral hazard. If you insure against something, you're going to increase the likelihood that that event will occur. If you insure my losses in Vegas, I'm going to go to Vegas more often. You see what I mean? So we're on the same page as that goes. But it doesn't have to happen. That is bad policy, and it's what people in my position at think tanks try to prevent every day. So it doesn't need to happen, and it shouldn't happen. We just need to persuade the public that that's the case, and legislators, of course. That being said, one of the solutions to the healthcare problem is greater competitive contracting, whether it's insurance or other areas. For instance, there's a small district that we just covered recently in our publication MER that is saving $200 per student per year by contracting out with a new insurance group. And I ask you, what school and superintendent would turn away an extra $200 per student per year if the state offered it to them? That's what superintendents are effectively doing by not looking at insurance programs other than MESA and looking for, you know, more competitive insurance packages. That's just one area.
So schools could look at other insurance if they wish to do so. They're not required to.
Well, they can, but of course they also have to face their the union, who will oppose the very types of changes that they're trying to impose on their own members in East Lansing. And they not only have to fight that battle, they have to go out and find another program that's willing to do so without necessarily the knowledge about what type of claims their potential customers are making. Because, as you know, Mesa doesn't want to part with that type of data lest they bring more competition to themselves.
See, we're talking about some of the different labor troubles, including their own workers maybe going on strike against some of the negotiations and so forth about changes in health care coverage and so forth. This is going to get really interesting. What is you've painted a scenario. What do you feel like actually is going to happen out of all this, Mike?
Well, last we heard, the contract for the 600 employees that the MEA has with the USO union expired August 31st. So as far as I know, they're working, but working without a contract. I can't believe that the MEA would allow this to actually turn into a strike against them. The public relations would be a disaster. In fact, I'm surprised that they've even allowed this much information to become public, because it's not good for their image. And if a strike is called, it's going to make them look even worse, and it's going to embolden superintendents, as it should, to look elsewhere and to look at rolling back the extremely expensive Mesa healthcare packages that so many of them have in their districts.
What do you do about the retirees that are currently retired? I mean, to be able to, and you referenced that with changes in retirees' benefits and so forth, but is there any precedent toward retirees saying, wait a second, you have a contract with me, you guaranteed me this and this and this and this and this, now you're changing the deal? I mean, with our litigious society we have nowadays, I'm picturing at the surface lawsuit central. Am I wrong?
No, you could be right, but I haven't seen necessarily any lawsuits yet. I've just seen current retirees saying, wait a second, I was promised X for Y years of service. Why are you trying to change this now? Now, what institutions might be doing is sort of grandfathering these changes in. So current workers today would receive less generous benefits in the future and be forced to pay higher premiums as well. So it may not be current employees, current retirees in some situations. It might be the ones who are working today but have to now plan for a future with a less generous retirement package.
Even that would be a real step in the right direction, because the savings down the road would be huge.
Oh, yeah, and we've seen institutions do that. They grandfather it in just knowing that 10 years down the road they're going to enjoy some relief.
Yeah, and that's better than where you're at right now, there's no doubt.
It is indeed. And school districts aren't just looking toward at health care contracting to save money. They're doing it in the more traditional ways the Mackinac Center has covered for years, contracting out for janitorial services and food services and busing services, because that way they no longer have to make contributions to the state retirement system on behalf of the employees that they've whose jobs they've contracted out.
I was talking with several people who have been involved in the recent privatization in Petoskey of the janitorial services, who have made reference to that. Yeah, sure, they cut the jobs, but with paying less for their employees, which was several dollars an hour less as far as offers of what they did take, mm-hmm. you end up doing exactly what I think DELG mentioned the other day, and that is that we're replacing jobs in Michigan with low pay jobs. And so, is that true? Are we actually just trading one for another? And I guess the other question is, if you look at it like that, should the state become an employee service agency, or should they just be working efficiently like a business?
Exactly. There are no free lunches. So if you're paying a high wage, an artificially high wage to a janitor in a public school district, you are essentially taking that money from someone else when there's a willingness to work for less. So that difference between what somebody would be willing to work for at a market wage versus the government-mandated wage, the district-negotiated wage, for instance, you're taking that from me and from you, and it's resulting in a potential higher tax payment come November or whenever our legislators in Lansing settle things up.
If things ever do get straightened out, do you see the state being in the mindset of actually trying to lower taxes over time? Let's say they start straightening things out, money starts coming back in, the economy turns around at some point. Is this the kind of state that we'll start seeing rebates as best they can, or is it just going to be Headley only? And spend everywhere else you can.
The closest thing to immortality is a government program.
How true that is.
And that's because they have entrenched special interests, including the workers who are part of it. That's one reason it's often been so difficult to contract out for simple things such as janitorial services in school districts. They want to keep their jobs, and the people who fund them and oversee them and have them as employees want to keep them as well, not only for professional reasons, but for very personal reasons. They know them. If I were a superintendent in a small school district, it would be very hard to let go a bus driver whose husband cuts my hair, for instance. That's an example one superintendent gave me. It's a personal issue. But families have personal issues, too. And if you don't look for the best use of those tax dollars, you not only deprive kids of more money in the classroom, but you might be depriving taxpayers of allowing them to keep more of what they earn.
Mike, your article about the MEA's managements and also with the health benefit type things, that's on the Mackinac Center for Public Policy's website right now.
It is indeed at www.mackinac.org.
And also a lot of other articles when it comes to this issue and the budget in general, which is certainly, as we heard from Gary McDowell's interview, definitely in season right now.
It is indeed.
Really appreciate you spending some time with us. It's good talking to you today again, Mike.
The pleasure's mine. Thanks for having me.
Hope we get to talk again soon.
I do too.
Mike LaFave is the director of the Fiscal Policy Initiative for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Appreciate it, sir.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. And we'll come back, weather on the O's on the way, and also the latest national news coming up on 1340 WMBN and 1270 WMKT.